Chapter 13. Playing a Different Tune. In this chapter, the main alternatives to string theory: piecing space together, space without space, turning physics on its head. String theorists sometimes say their theory is the only candidate, the only viable attempt, or the only game in town. This isn't true. And not surprisingly, such statements annoy those working on alternative theories. Although these alternatives are not as well developed as string theory, each introduces provocative ideas. What else is out there? String theory comes out of a particular school of physics, particular in both senses of the word. The theory is rooted in particle physics and inherits its culture and temperament. But particle physics is hardly the only physics there is. Several alternatives to string theory are rooted in relativity theory, a subdiscipline with a very different style. Relativists are a smaller, tighter-knit community. They consider geometry to be fundamental rather than particles. Physicists from a third subdiscipline, those who study fluids and solids, have also put forward a candidate quantum theory of gravity. They tend to think that what happens at the fundamental level is irrelevant, and what truly matters are the laws that connect the micro to the macro. In the tradition of Albert Einstein, relativists love confronting deep philosophical questions. String theorists, in the tradition of those who develop the Standard Model, tend to shoot first and ask conceptual questions later. The fluid and solid people hew closely to experimental analogies, and each group can point to historical precedents for the success of its approach. This scientific and sociological diversity carries over into the theories themselves. The different schools have different thoughts to what the mental interlopers, the extraneous features of current theories that block their unification, might be. All claim to be the radically conservative option, the one that minimizes the changes that have to be made to current theories. Although there's some bad blood among the different schools, it makes sense to attack such an entrenched problem on multiple fronts. Loop quantum gravity. The leading alternative to string theory goes by the name of loop quantum gravity. Like string theory, loop gravity went through several near-death experiences in its formative years. An early incarnation hit a brick wall in the 1970s and was left for dead. It sprang back to life in the mid-1980s. The key figures in this resuscitation were Lee Smolin of the Perimeter Institute near Toronto, Carlo Rovelli of the University of the Mediterranean in Marseille, and Abhay Ashkatar of Pennsylvania State University, as they drew on earlier ideas of Roger Penrose of Oxford University. Loop gravity seeks to quantize general relativity rather than derive it from particle interactions. It takes the principles of relativity as its starting point. This approach is both less and more ambitious than that of string theory. On the one hand, loop gravity doesn't set out to be a theory of everything, just of gravity. Not that this isn't ambitious enough. On the other hand, it dives straight into the conceptual deep end of quantum gravity, namely, the problem of concocting a theory when not even the structure of space-time can be assumed in advance. Loop-de-loop. If someone asks you for directions to a bar in Manhattan, you can answer in two ways. Either give the street intersection, which works well if the person wants to drive or take a cab, or give the subway line and station. Similarly, you can describe space in two equivalent ways, as a grid of points or as a pattern of lines. The original equations of general relativity use points, but in the mid-1980s, physicists rewrote these equations in terms of lines. These lines correspond to the lines of gravitational force, much like the magnetic lines around a bar magnet, which indicate the direction that a compass needle points. These lines can loop back on themselves, and loops can wind through other loops like a tangle of subway lines. They are the loops of loop quantum gravity. Loops are more abstract than points, but they neatly capture an essential principle of Einstein's theory. If two people observe the same region of space, they may think it has a different shape, But this difference is not real. It's just an artifact of their two vantage points. In terms of loops, a mere shift of vantage point corresponds to sliding the loops around without altering which loop connects to which other loops. It's like one of those tavern puzzles which consist of interlocking metal pieces that you're supposed to disentangle. If you jiggle the puzzle pieces a little bit, you get nowhere in solving the puzzle. You have not really changed the puzzle conditions. Only if you slide the pieces in just the right way can you pull them apart. The flexibility of loops makes them easier to work with mathematically than the traditional continuum of points. Physicists can turn the loopy version of relativity into a quantum theory of gravity using the same procedure that turned the pre-quantum theory of electromagnetism into the quantum theory of electromagnetism. The same procedure chokes when applied to the continuum version of relativity. Atoms of space. Once you've got the quantum version of relativity, you can translate from the loops back into ordinary space, and the first thing you notice is that the points have all gone away. Instead, space comes in discrete chunks, atoms of space. These atoms, I guess we could call them spatoms, represent the smallest possible units of volume, 1 cubic Planck length. The fact that they're not true points makes a difference. If space cannot be subdivided any more than a space atom, it limits the strength with which gravity acts on particles. So these atoms are loop gravity's answer to the paradox of the graviton. The equivalent vantage points of different people correspond to shifting the arrangement of atoms without altering which connects to which. Real changes to space correspond to a reconfigured pattern of interconnections. In fact, loop theorists commonly forget about the space atoms themselves and think only of the web of their relationships, depicted on diagrams that look like connect-the-dots puzzles. Such a diagram, though drawn on a flat page of paper, can represent a multidimensional space. A nice, regular grid might correspond to empty space, devoid of gravitational forces. An elaborate web of links might portray a region of intense gravitation. Despite the loop theorists' protestations about their limited ambitions, in the back of their minds, many of them always thought that a full theory of space-time would automatically be a theory of particles, too, hence, a theory of everything. And there are tentative indications they were right. The links between atoms can pass through and around one another, creating knots and braids. It takes 3 strands to make a braid that can't undo itself. Lo and behold, the various permutations of interweaving 3 strands match up with the particles of the standard model. Some braid patterns have a twist in each of their strands, others in only 1 or 2 strands. These could represent electrons and quarks, with their differing amounts of electric charge. To be sure, this interpretation of particles is still rather sketchy. Where do loops stand? The great success of loop gravity is to describe space as a dynamical entity rather than a fixed framework. Many questions remain, however. Over short distances, the theory should reproduce the predictions of special relativity. Does it? Over long distances, the details of the individual space atoms and their interconnections should fade to insignificance, so that all you'll see is their averaged behavior. Does this behavior match general relativity? Theorists don't yet know. You may have noticed that I've been using space rather than space-time. That's not a typo. The procedure for bootstrapping from Einstein's equations up to quantum theory dismantles space-time into space and time. To put it back together, loop theorists extend their networks of interconnections using a set of mathematical principles that are not as well developed. Moreover, the dismantling leads to the problem of frozen time. That is, the time variable in the theory doesn't jibe with our common sense notion of time. String theorists, by and large, don't think too highly of loop quantum gravity, and the feeling is reciprocated. What string theorists like most about their theory and expect from other theories, ensuring that special relativity holds, deriving general relativity as an approximation, and predicting a rich assortment of phenomena are precisely what loop theorists don't like. Some in each school, though, are struck by intriguing parallels between loops and strings. Both are extended objects that interconnect with one another and come in a certain minimum size. Might the two theories prove to be different trails up the same mountain? Bucky space. In quantum gravity, there almost seems to be an inverse relationship between the complexity of a theory and the complexity of its name. String theory is a simple name for an unsimple theory. Causal dynamical triangulations is a mouthful for what is really a very simple theory. All it does is approximate space with a scaffolding of triangles, like a higher dimensional version of Buckminster Fuller's geodesic domes. So, to give this theory a simpler name, unofficially I call it Bucky space. During the past couple of years, Renate Lall of Utrecht University, Jan Ambjorn of Copenhagen University, and Jerzy Jerkowitz of Jagiellonian University in Krakow, Poland have fit this theory together. The idea builds on an approach developed by Stephen Hawking, among others. Remember that quantum theory holds that what we observe emerges from a mixture of all possibilities. Applied to the universe, it suggests that the space-time we observe emerges from a goulash of all possible space-times, and Einstein's equations tell us the proportions of each ingredient to throw in the pot. To perform the calculations, we need to find a common language for describing all these shapes. That's where the triangles come in. Enough of them can approximate any shape at all, which is why computer animation uses them to render aliens and bombed-out landscapes. The word causal in the formal title of the theory refers to how the triangles have a built-in distinction between time and space and are stitched together in a way that forbids time machines. These attributes ensure that cause-effect relations remain consistent, which is one of the trickiest aspects of any quantum theory of gravity. Proponents of this approach don't claim that space-time is literally a scaffolding of triangles. It's just an approximate description. If you use sufficiently small triangles, the approximation should be indistinguishable from reality. Similarly, if you build your geodesic dome out of teeny-weeny triangles, no one will be able to tell it apart from a smooth sphere. After throwing the mixture of triangle-spanned spaces into their mathematical pot, physicists stir it around and see whether our observed 4D space-time emerges. It does. What's more, space-time takes on a very different shape on fine scales than it does on large ones, which keeps gravity from going haywire. The technique is still in its infancy, and it's somewhat of a black box. It tells them what space does, but not why. Numerous issues remain open. Do the details of the building blocks introduce a subtle bias into the approximation? Can the Bucky space theory accommodate matter? Can it accommodate black holes and other exotic phenomena? The answers to all these questions are maybe. The technique has caught the eye of both string theorists and loop theorists, who see it meshing with their own efforts. Domino theory. Earlier, I talked about giving directions in terms of either a street grid or subway lines. There is, of course, a whole other paradigm. Landmarks. Instead of go north 3/10 of a mile, then east, you could say, keep going until you see a big white rock under an oak tree, then bear right. Some prefer the orientation and distance strategy, others the landmarks. Most proposed quantum theories of gravity describe space-time in terms of abstract coordinates, but some use landmarks. These include the work of Raphael Sorkin and Fotini Markopoulou of the Perimeter Institute and Faye Dowker of Imperial College London. For space-time, the concept of landmark gets generalized to event, which combines a physical landmark with a time, as in, meet me under the big clock at 2:04. You can flip it around and say the event defines the position. Once you take events as primary, your entire perspective on space-time changes. Instead of a continuum of points, what really matters is the web of events and the relationships between them. One event causes another, which causes another, and another in a never-ending domino effect. Physicists call it a causal set. Definition: an event, to physicists, marks a specific position in space at a specific time. It is the basic unit of the space-time continuum. A causal set is one possible family tree of these events, a network of events organized according to which caused which. Physicists draw causal sets using connect-the-dots diagrams that look superficially like those in loop quantum gravity but have one gigantic difference. The loopy diagrams are the end point of a series of calculations involving loops and Einstein's equations. The causal sets are a starting point. To draw one, we do not even need to assume relativity. Proponents figure out the multitude of ways that events can be ordered and show that concepts such as distance, time, and gravitation emerge when we consider events en masse. If we apply quantum theory to the events, we find there are only certain ways to assign them positions that are consistent with all the relationships they have. Quantum leap. Could our universe be a giant computer? In essence, that's what the causal set theories say. Space comes in discrete chunks, like bytes in a computer memory. Time marches forward in discrete increments, like ticks of a computer clock. And events are related like logical operations in a computer program. A number of computer scientists, such as Seth Lloyd of MIT, Edward Fredkin of Carnegie Mellon University, and Stephen Wolfram of Wolfram Research, have explored this connection. One appealing aspect of the approach is that it avoids the problem of time. It builds in a common-sense notion of change from the outset. Nor does the graviton problem ever arise. The inherent discreteness of events forestalls it. A big problem, though, is that there are countless ways to order a set of events, and only a tiny fraction look anything like our universe. A tipping point? Finally, a handful of physicists think the approaches to quantum gravity we just explored are badly misguided. They argue that the most important laws are those describing how parts assemble themselves into wholes. The laws of the parts themselves are beside the point. Maybe the parts don't obey any laws. Total anarchy reigns. Holger Nielsen developed this idea of anti-grand unification in the 1970s, and other proponents include Grigory Volovic of the Helsinki University of Technology and Robert Laughlin of Stanford University. These researchers draw their inspiration from the behavior of fluids and solids. When water freezes, the H2O molecules do not change, only their collective behavior does. Freely swimming molecules slow down until they reach a tipping point when all latch onto their neighbors and lock one another in place, forming an ice crystal or glassy material. Other substances do the same when they freeze. This affinity among all substances is known as universality. Definition: universality is the principle that very different substances can all have the same behavior under certain circumstances. In those situations, the details of their composition cease to matter. As it happens, fundamental theories bear an uncanny resemblance to the laws of fluids and solids. In Chapter 8, I compared black holes to water flowing down a drain. This is not just a helpful image. The equations of sound propagation through a moving fluid are a dead ringer for the propagation of light through space-time. Does universality extend to space-time itself? That opens up a whole new interpretation of relativity theory. The theory might describe the collective behavior of nature's basic constituents rather than the constituents themselves. What those constituents are hardly matters. Even if a theorist hazards a guess, an experimenter could never verify it. A million guesses could produce the same outcome, and if the details are immaterial, they might as well be completely random. The tree of physics could be rooted in anarchy. Random is the word most other physicists would use to describe this approach to quantum gravity. To them, the idea that nature becomes anarchic at its deepest levels runs contrary to the observed trend of increasing order. The strategy of reductionism, of finding explanations in terms of ever smaller components has proven so successful that physicists are reluctant to abandon it just yet. Universality does not always hold, so experiments can, in fact, distinguish among theories. As for the resemblance of fluids and relativity theory, it could reflect commonplace mathematical properties, so it shouldn't be taken literally. And yet, string theorists find themselves rediscovering many of the same ideas. In certain settings, general relativity does seem to emerge in the act of aggregating particle behavior. String theorists also find phase transitions and collective behavior popping up all over the place. Related ideas have made their way into loop gravity as well. These similarities are yet another reason that researchers need to tackle quantum gravity on all sides. Each researcher sees things the others might have glossed over. The least you need to know. String theory is not the only candidate for a quantum theory of gravity. The main alternative, loop quantum gravity, breaks a volume down into atoms of space. A newer technique approximates space-time as Bucky space, like a multidimensional geodesic dome. Another theory describes space-time in terms of events rather than points. One radical proposal changes the focus from fundamental laws to the laws of collective behavior.